But before we do anything else, I want to introduce you to my next guest, a woman that I am so intrigued to talk to because I just have so many questions and want to ask her all of them. So this is the perfect place to do it. She's a Harley Street clinical hypnotherapist, writer, speaker, and she's the author of Health, Wealth and Hypnosis, The Way to a Beautiful Life. Now, she tells her story about a life that she lived that was hectic and chaotic and full of running around and achieving and doing all the things that you're supposed to do, which I feel like so many of us in London can relate to. Before lockdown, I never stopped running around, and I certainly resonate with the life that she leads. However, after someone suggesting that she go and try some hypnosis herself, it changed everything and changed her life. And she went on to study stress management, psychology, and finally clinical hypnotherapy. And here she is today, a Harley Street hypnotherapist working to create beautiful lives for lots of different people. She's here to talk to us about lots of the things that she does, but of course, her hypnotherapy. Welcome to the show, it's Gail Mara.
Thank you, Summer. What a wonderful introduction. So wonderful. Thank you so much. And thank you for having me.
My pleasure. It's, you know, it's all testament to you and everything that you've done. Is it Mara or Mara?
It's Mara.
Mara, Gail Mara. Sorry, I think it's the northerner in me that I say Mara when I see a name like that.
I've been called worse.
Well, not on this show, Gail, not on this show. Thank you so much for joining us and at such a late time as well. Are you backing the coffee and the caffeine to stay awake or are you a night owl?
No, I think I'm a Jim Jams and fluffy slippers owl by this time of night.
Me too, Gail. Me
too. Those days are gone. But no, it's a joy. I've been looking forward to speaking with you all day.
Oh, that's so lovely. It's so lovely to have you here. And the joy here about lockdown living is that, you know, once upon a time you'd be in our studio. And whilst I wouldn't mind if you came into my studio in fluffy slippers and pajamas, other people have different ideas about it. But at least now we can have a gorgeous conversation and you can do it in fluffy slippers, although the weather is a little bit hot for it tonight. Listen, Gail, I said this before earlier on in the program, if you were listening, I hear hypnotherapist, I hear hypnosis, and I automatically, immediately skeptical. So let's just address that, because I feel like that's the first thing that we need to address, because people do get a little cynical and a little skeptical about it. And they go, oh, really? I don't know if that does anything. It's all hocus pocus or whatever. I'm that person. I think, you know, maybe it works on some people. I think it would work on some people, but it would never work on me. Tell us a little bit about hypnosis.
Okay. You might be surprised to know that you're in hypnosis many times a day. We all are. It's a brainwave state. It's a brainwave frequency. So, for instance, if you're absorbed in your show, doing a show or listening to a piece of music, driving a familiar route or taking a familiar route, if you're involved in a movie or a book, you're in an altered state of consciousness. So you're in a hypnotic trance. It's very natural. There's nothing hocus pocus about it. It's a natural state. Right. So hypnotherapy is the use of hypnosis with a therapeutic endpoint. And so therefore to help someone to challenge unhealthy or negative habits, replace them with better ones. It's an altered state of consciousness where we are in a heightened state of learning.
Okay, a heightened state of learning. That sounds like something that I'd always want to be in because I always want to learn more, right?
Yeah, absolutely. But it's something that happens naturally all of the time. So there's no swinging pocket watches, no purple capes, only at Halloween and family parties do we have that. My kids always say, don't look at me, don't hypnotize me. But it isn't like that. And I always say, I have a big family. If I could control their minds, life would be a walk in the park.
I was going to say, do they ever like that? I was going to say, surely if you want them to do something, you could subtly, I don't know, do some kind of hypnosis on your children whilst they were all sitting, chilling in the room, watching TV so that they never, I don't know, get drunk or do drugs or any of the things that you worry kids will do.
Wouldn't that be amazing? But no, none of that. So hypnosis, hypnotherapy is not mind control. But what it is, it's kind of retraining the individual to remember that you can control your own mind. So you're tapping in. Like, for instance, there's, without getting too geeky about it, we have various brainwave frequencies. So the one that you and I are on at the moment will be the beta or beta normal waking state. There's an alpha, which is calm but alert. And then there's theta, or in America we say theta, but that's the sleep brainwave, or when we're in a light sleep or meditation or hypnosis.
Okay.
And then there's delta, which is sleep, and there's gamma, which they say is where all the wonderful yogis are able to go to for enlightenment. But however, hypnotherapy taps into that theta brainwave, that brainwave that is really highly focused, highly alert. They say in hypnosis the body's asleep, but the mind's awake. I kind of like that.
The body's asleep, but the mind's awake.
So you're in a heightened state.
That reminds me a little bit of, I don't know if you know about sleep paralysis. But sleep paralysis is a similar thing, isn't it? When your mind wakes up, but your body hasn't, and there's a disconnect between your mind and your body. So you're aware of things, but you can't move your body, which is why they call it a paralysis.
Yeah, that's a whole different kettle of fish, and I love the subject of sleep. But sleep paralysis and night terrors are something I work with to help people overcome. It's certainly not that kind of brainwave. And in fact, that's a subject for another day, perhaps.
That is a whole, and it's one that I want to get into, because I have sleep paralysis. So I occasionally get it, and my brain is wide awake. I can't move a single muscle in my body. Gail, I'm getting you back on the show. We're gonna do a whole other show for this. We're going to talk about this.
And wouldn't it be great if after all this nonsense is over, then I could come into the studio and we could have a hypno session. But the sleep paralysis, without going off too far, is a different, that's more of a gamma delta brainwave frequency, where in actual fact you are still sleeping. Anyway, we'll go into that another way. Hypnosis and hypnotherapy is not sleep. No one in my clinic is asleep. You're very awake and very aware, but just really relaxed.
Okay. So, Gail, how did you end up here? Because admittedly, it's a niche profession. You don't talk about it in school. Like, when I grow up, I'm going to be a hypnotherapist. How did you arrive here? What was going on in your life?
Oh, my goodness. Okay. So I think you mentioned very briefly at the beginning, I have had a hectic life. I've always enjoyed a hectic life. It's been a little bit off-piste from time to time. And during the 80s, when I was a single parent bringing up my children and working in the city in finance, and it was high-pressured, and there was nannies and childminders and au pairs and after-school clubs, and life was just really, really hectic. And I felt myself going off the rails, if you like, becoming overwhelmed, not going off the rails, becoming overwhelmed. Mm. And so I got into the study of stress management, and I used that in the corporate arena because that's where I was at that time. And then as time went on, I became more and more interested in my mind and how it worked, and how I was very often dragged into society's way of dictating how I should think and live and be. And I didn't feel that way. And so I suppose it was my vocation, if you like. I just got into, read everything, watched everything I could to do with the mind. And it intrigued me. And it was just my journey. And psychology and then clinical hypnotherapy. And I just love what I do every day. I feel very blessed to be able to do what I love every day.
And so obviously when you went down that journey, you know, your life changed massively. You know, you weren't involved in that corporate grind anymore. You were making more conscious decisions about your life and how you wanted it to be, instead of just getting lost in that, you know, that hustle, that bustle, that scheduling, that next thing that, you know,
absolutely,
like you said, taking the kids to this after school club and sorting this out and doing the groceries and just the daily life that we all get really caught up in, especially in London as well, because London runs at a million miles per hour. But, you know, life changed for you. And obviously you started this whole other profession. How did it change you as a person, as an individual?
That's a great question this late at night, any time of day or night. Great question. So I guess it certainly made me more mindful. I try to be very much more present in the moment. That's not easy. Mm. People say the mindfulness is that big buzz of the last few years, but it's not easy. But I try to be very mindful. I am aware of the energy I give off and the energy that I receive from others, other people in other places. I feel that I'm much more grounded. I feel probably that comes with age as well, of course. I feel wiser than I was. I'd love to have given my younger self some sage advice. You know, the old adage, if only I knew then what I know now.
Absolutely. Youth is wasted on the young.
Oh, I love that. It really is, isn't it? But I'd have got in much less trouble had I known what I know now. But I think for me, it's made me a much more rounded person. I am more empathetic. I'm more sympathetic. Yeah, I just feel I'm in a really good place. And I think in order to be a good therapist, you have to be a good listener.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I talk a lot, Selma. So for me to listen, that is often a challenge. But yes, these are two things, and I just love it.
My producer was just laughing at me there across the screen because I also talk a lot and he barely gets a word in edgeways. And he's probably thinking, God, how do we change this?
We need to do coffee
Absolutely. Give me tea. You take the pims. As long as there's cake involved, I'm there. Okay, I'm there.
Oh, yes. You like cake.
Oh, God, I'll eat it every single day. And I'm not interested in any hypnosis that will change that. Absolutely nothing. If you're just joining the show, we're here on BBC Radio London. It's The Late Show. We're talking to Gail Mara, Harley Street clinical hypnotherapist, about her work. Gail, what I wanted to ask you is, this is about controlling your own mind, right? Like you said at the beginning, this isn't about you taking over someone else's mind.
No. But hypnosis is voluntary.
Okay, you have to opt in, right?
Absolutely. Okay. Yeah,
so you have to make sure you're up for it. You're opting into this.
Yeah.
What if you opt in and you're open to it? Is there any chance that you can alter other parts of your brain by mistake or as you go along? What if it alters something else in you?
I've never known that happen. I think a lot of people will look at the stage shows and see people clucking like chickens and behaving really outrageously. Mm-hmm. But they have to... They have to give permission to themselves to behave in that way, because there's no way. I mean, let's face it: the Russians and the KGB and even the Americans and probably even the British have all tried to dabble in mind control, because it would be a really powerful tool. But it's not possible, certainly not in this day and age. So you have to be a willing participant. And I've been to a couple of these stage shows in the past, and I've always been bitterly disappointed that I've never been chosen, probably because I choose not to be that susceptible, and I choose not to run around the stage like a crazy person, although, you know, a lot of people, it's their moment, isn't it? It's their moment to behave badly or behave in a silly way, not take responsibility for their behaviour.
Right, so how much of it is what's actually happening and how much of it is the power of suggestion?
Ah, the power of suggestion. Hypnosis really is about the power of suggestion, but you have to be a willing participant. So if someone came to me and they said, I have an internet addiction, for instance.
Right.
And I really love the internet and I don't want to give up, but my wife, my husband, my partner, boyfriend, girlfriend wants me to give up.
Right.
That's no good.
They're not going
to
do it.
You have to want that change for yourself.
Right. But if someone comes and says, I really want to give up smoking, I've tried everything, and like, I really want to do this, they've opted in, right? They're willing. They want
Absolutely.
It to happen.
They're ready to go. But it doesn't mean that you don't have the freedom of free will at a later date. So people can change a habit, but then they can go back to a habit or replace it with a habit. It's interesting when we're talking about addictions and giving up habits, because there's no good taking one habit away if you haven't kind of filled the gap with something beneficial.
Right.
You don't want to give up smoking and then take up drinking or worse.
Okay, fair.
If somebody's ready to come to the table for help, and it doesn't have to be about addictions, it can be for grief, for loss, for OCD, stress and anxiety, confidence, insomnia, like we spoke about earlier, pain control, I work with clients who are about to undergo surgery procedures, and they're extremely anxious, and we'll work for a few weeks together on being able to get into that theta brain state so that they're calm prior to surgery. Again, I'm going to keep talking because, well, I've got the platform, because even in surgery, it has been proven time and again that there's less blood loss, for instance. People are calmer. They need less medicine or medication. They recover quicker. Wow. Everything goes on in the mind.
Right. Of course, it controls whatever's happening in the body. And a lot of the times, you know, sadness and emotion shows up in the body in terms of physical ailments.
Absolutely.
And it can exacerbate chronic illness, for example.
Yeah, so you're not a skeptic, you're a believer.
Do you know what? I think I might be coming round. Do you know what it is? I think hypnosis, hypnotherapy, and then I have these wild, fantastical ideas of it being something a bit like Inception, the movie. I don't know if you saw Inception.
I have seen it a couple of times, actually. Right. I had to watch it twice because I didn't get it the first time.
Oh, right. So I watched that and I loved that. And I was like, oh, it's so clever. Yeah. Yes, I went, oh my God, is it possible? But I have also read a lot of Jane Austen, and Jane Austen Persuasion is the ultimate, you know, first bit out there that's all about the power of persuasion and suggestion, right? And all you have to do is drop the mere suggestion.
Yes.
And how many times have we seen it growing up? I don't know. Someone says, oh my God, that person fancies you. And then suddenly you've never looked at that person in any kind of way before. But then suddenly at the suggestion that this person likes you, your brain rewires and you go, oh, maybe I think I do like that person actually. Oh, I'm looking at them differently, right?
100%. You're absolutely spot on. Back in the 70s, and maybe they still do it, they had subliminal advertising. So a Coca-Cola bottle, for instance, might flash up on the TV screen and not enough for you to register consciously, but subconsciously you have, and you suddenly have a craving and you go to the shop and you buy some. So, suggestion is very powerful.
Right. And I do believe that the mind is an incredibly powerful tool. And if hypnotherapy is just tapping into that, then that makes sense in my head. I'm like, oh, okay, maybe that's how it works, right? And I'm a big believer in therapy, right? Like I'm a huge advocate for therapy, go to therapy, think it changed my life. And nothing's happening in there to physically alter you. You're just
absolutely not
unfolding your mind in a different way, right?
Exactly that. You can reframe. So people who have had perhaps trauma in the past, their lives are kind of dictated by past experience. And there's nothing anyone can do about going back in time. Wouldn't that be amazing or not? It's the case, maybe. But so rather than bringing forward those traumas and let it define who we are today, we can, in hypnosis or hypnotherapy, we can reframe that trauma and look at it in a different perspective, look and really see it as a past event and no longer bring it forward to let it dictate a future events. Because everything we think about or every choice we make, a decision we make, is based on previous events.
Absolutely.
We have to do it that way. So reframing is a big part of hypnotherapy also.
So then we can use hypnotherapy for all manner of things, right? We can use it for, like you said, trauma or nightmares, other things that are less traumatic, like giving up smoking or working on our diet in specific ways, or sexually, if we want to get over blocks. I assume it can be applied to all of these things, right?
Everything. And the only thing, everything that is within our control, we can change if we want to. Obviously, we can't change other people's behaviors. Again, wouldn't that be amazing? But we can change how we respond and react to the way other people behave, or things that happen even in the environment with COVID or with a pandemic and the fear factor involved and the uncertainty. I've seen so many more clients who have had or are suffering with stress and anxiety, OCD, and all kinds of insomnia, panic attacks, all to do with COVID, because it's something we cannot control. But what we can control is how we respond to it.
Which segues very perfectly, Gail Mara. It's as if you knew how to do it. You segued so perfectly into my next question, which is about lockdown and COVID. And we've seen the states, we've seen the statistics and the data, and across the board, mental health issues have risen dramatically whilst everyone has been in lockdown, has been exacerbated. It's been a really difficult time for a lot of people. I mean, it's not easy for everyone to go and get, you know, or to see a clinical hypnotherapist, right? It's, as far as I know, it's not being offered on the NHS. This is something that you can do if you have the resource and the funds, right? But it would be interesting to know, just from your perspective, what can people do who are locked down? Or because there's still so many people who we don't talk about, but who are still in lockdown because they're vulnerable or they're high risk and they haven't come out of their houses yet. We're all sitting here looking towards our government going, oh my God, what's going to happen next? Are we going into a second lockdown? Everyone that I've spoken to about the prospect even of a second lockdown, they just seem absolutely like terrified about it. They just think, oh my God, the thought of that, I can't bear another lockdown. There's no way I can go through that again. What can people do with their mental health, or what can they do to stay calm? What are small things that they can do to try and make sure that they're controlling the way they're responding to this?
Well, interestingly enough, if we've got time, and I hope we do just a few minutes, I'd like to share a breathing technique that will change the hormones. When I say hormones, I'm talking about your feel-good hormones.
Okay.
So when we're stressed and anxious or worried and scared, our body it goes into fight and flight.
Right.
So we're pumping out adrenaline and cortisol and are ready to take on the threat or perceived threat. So the heart pumps and the blood pressure rises and all the blood rushes to the muscles and we're ready to fight. But there's actually nothing that we can see. It's what they call, don't they, the invisible threat or different words like that. So what happens is with stress and anxiety is we get stuck in fight and flight. And that's not the body's natural response to living life.
Right.
We're supposed to be in what we call rest and digest. So we're supposed to be releasing endorphins and other wonderful chemicals and only need to be in fight and flight when there's a threat, a clear and present danger. Or if you're an athlete or you're competing, of course, you need adrenaline then. And if at work and even for your radio show, you'll need some adrenaline every time your slot comes on because you need to have that in order to give what you've got. But with the lockdown and or with the fearfulness of what's going on, and I was in, as an example, I was having a cup of coffee with a friend and colleague actually this morning, and everyone was seated socially distanced, and someone behind my friend sneezed.
Right.
Well, everyone, it was almost like the SAS had arrived with guns and ammunition because everyone's grappling for their face masks. COVID alert. I mean, it was
honestly, someone coughs and I cross the road. I think, you absolutely selfish person. What are you doing in the street if you're coughing?
Exactly. But, you know, we're oversensitive now because coughing or sneezing or sniffing is normal. However, what's happened, I think, here is that we're used to hearing about awful things, aren't we? Like war, extreme poverty, deadly diseases like Ebola and SARS happening in other parts of the world.
Right.
We're not used to it here. We've been really cosseted, haven't we, to a degree? And even my mother was saying during the war, because everyone had to turn off the lights or go in the bunkers, but at least during the day, there was a community vibe going on.
Right.
Everyone shared and mixed and mingled, and there was song and dance, and we don't have any of that now. So we really are being isolated. And us humans, we are sociable people. We live in tribes and groups, and we're not used to being isolated like this, and that's fearful for us. Salma, if we've got a moment, because I can't stop talking.
do you know what? We absolutely do have a moment, and I'd love you to do this breathing exercise.
Okay.
If you're just tuning in, get ready. Maybe put down your cups of tea or whatever it is you're doing. If you're driving, maybe don't do it. I don't know. Is it something you can do when you're driving?
Yeah. In fact, I do it when I'm stuck in traffic. So,
excellent.
It's not going to be hypnosis. It's a simple breathing exercise.
All right.
And
Absolutely. Then let's definitely do that. So if you are just tuned in, let's do a little bit of breathing exercise. We're here talking to Gail Mara, Harley Street clinical hypnotherapist, writer, speaker, and my new favourite person to have a cup of tea with, which will be happening afterwards. Gail, take it away whenever you're ready.
Okay. I just wanted to mention that this controlled breathing is something that we don't have to remind ourselves to do. So the first thing we do when we're born, we go from breathing in fluid to breathing air. So we never have to remind ourselves to breathe. And even if we're having a panic attack and you think you might stop breathing, of course, you won't stop breathing. So this exercise is about controlling that breath. So you're breathing manually, if you like. So when you're panicked and you're breathing at the top part of the chest, you're hyperventilating sometimes and you're in this panic mode, your adrenal glands are pumping out the cortisol and the adrenaline. This is going to flip it. So this breathing exercise is going to have a physiological effect on your brain chemistry. It's so simple. So it's called various things. It's diaphragmatic breathing, 7-11 breathing, or belly breathing. It's how a baby breathes through their belly. So the idea here is to breathe in through your nose as slowly as you can, but taking the air deep down into your belly. So rather than breathing in and sucking your tummy in, you're doing the opposite. So you're breathing in through your nose. You can do it with me somewhere if you want to.
I'm doing it right now. I'm forcing my producer to do it as well. We're all with you.
Okay, fabulous. I can see you and I'm imagining you now. So you're breathing in through your nose and you're pushing your belly out. So you're kind of imagining that your lungs are taking up your whole torso. When you breathe out as slowly as you can, you're using your tummy muscles to push the breath out of your lungs from the bottom outward. It sounds tricky, but let's try it again. So in through your nose, as slowly as you can. And then out through your mouth, letting all the air out as slowly as you can. And the out breath should be longer than the in breath.
Okay.
The key to this breath is five cycles. So one cycle in and out, five cycles in 1 minute. That will immediately, after that 1 minute, your adrenal glands will be given a lovely rest and you'll start to produce chemicals and hormones, endorphins, oxytocin, dopamine, serotonin. The serotonin you'll like because
it makes you happy, right?
It makes you happy. And it's the precursor to melatonin that helps you sleep at night.
That's exactly what I need.
Yeah, so you're helping you're literally changing your brain chemistry. So it's five cycles of that deep breathing, in and out as slowly as you can. You can count into seven and out for 11 if that helps. In the space of 60 seconds, at first it's going to take 10 or 20 seconds, but you want to space it and pace it. And that will change your sympathetic nervous system. Yeah, it's all deep stuff. So you go from sympathetic nervous system, which is stress, to parasympathetic, which is rest and digest. So this breath, whether you believe it or not, it doesn't really matter because it has a physiological effect. Stress to calm in 60 seconds.
Stress to calm in 60 seconds, which I feel like all of us need, especially in these times. Because every time a headline comes out or a new government bulletin, I'm stressed.
Absolutely.
Gail, I love that. I could continue nattering with you. I've got a cup of tea here in front of me and I could continue nattering all evening. And I know you're in your woolly, in your fluffy slippers, so you're comfortable and raring to go.
I am.
But Gail, thank you so much for joining us and talking to us about that. I believe that you have a book coming out very soon.
Actually, it came out on the 30th of July, so it's available now.
Amazing.
On Amazon, all your bookstores, you can get it online now, yes.
Amazing. Can I just double check? Is this your book for teenagers? Or is that... Is that
you've heard about that.
I have. Oh,
okay, so I've got a follow-up book coming out in 2021, which is aimed at young adults, teenagers and young adults, as a way for... It's similar to the book I've just published, but it's aimed at the younger market. So that the young people these days, because of the stress and pressure they're under, for them to be able to realise how much control they have over how they react and respond to the world around them. So that's coming out next year.
I absolutely love that. And you can obviously find her on your website, which is www.gailmarahypnotherapy.com, or if you just put Gail Mara in Google, you come up everywhere and you're on socials, I believe. You do. I've got you on Twitter already.
Social media is my downfall. It's a different generation for me, Sam. I don't know what to do with it.
Well,
so
listen,
I just fly by the seat of my pants.
You do some hypnosis with me. I'll do social media with you. We'll do a skills swap. It'll be perfect. You'll find me banging on your Harley Street door in no time with all of the questions that I still haven't been able to fit into this one interview because it's just not long enough. Gail, thank you so much for joining us on the show. It's been such an enlightening and informative half an hour with you, and I've loved learning about it.
Thank you so much.
And get yourself to bed.
I will. Thank you so much. It's been an absolute joy, and I hope to speak to you soon.
Absolutely. That was Gail Mara, Harley Street clinical hypnotherapist, telling us a little bit of enlightening things and how we can all control our breathing a little bit better.